We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 13 of Joshua chapter 3. We're going to be speaking to you this morning on the subject of going where you haven't been before. This being the first Sunday of 2010, we'd like to give you a challenge, if we can, from the Word of God. And certainly this new year, there will come new opportunities, but you haven't walked this way before. We don't know what this year will hold, for sure. The Lord knows, for sure. And we're grateful for that. But I want to take this text and preach this message to you this morning and challenge your hearts about 2010. When we look back over 2009, we have to say, thank you, Lord. You've been good to us. And we appreciate the Lord's blessing. We're going to trust God bless 2010 as well. But I would like to challenge you this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll read from verse 1 through verse 13 of Joshua chapter 3. Father, I thank you for your word today. You said that you've even exalted your word above your name. And Father, then it's a precious book we have before us. And I do trust that you'll bless this word to our hearts as we read it. Enable us to discern your will for our lives as we bring the message. And when it's all said and done, we ask that Jesus Christ be lifted up and exalted, honored and glorified. For I pray in his name. Amen. Verse 1, Joshua 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning. They moved from Chittim, came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the bank or brink of the river of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebus, or the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man a tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan may be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And if you were to go on and read into this chapter and into the next, you'll find out that it is exactly as the Lord said it would be. The moment that the soles of the feet of these priests stepped into Jordan, this flooding Jordan, by the way, for the Bible tells us that this was the time of flooding, that it stood a wall. And below that wall, it was dry land. Above that wall, of course, the waters were held and backed up. There were men that would carry rocks out of the Jordan and carry some into the Jordan. And they would set up a memorial of this. But this was to be an evident sign to the children of Israel that God was going to give them the land. And certainly this is no small matter. We are well aware of the fact that God had already opened the Red Sea. And the children of Israel had gone through on dry ground. But now they're going to cross Jordan on dry ground as well. And this is a tremendous feat that God is performing for the children of Israel to bolster their faith, to encourage them in the conquest of the land. I would remind you this morning that Moses, God's servant, at this time is dead. That we're told in the earlier chapters of the book of Joshua. We're reminded of it in this chapter that, as God said, I want Israel to know that as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. And just as a moment of statement, sometimes pastors have a difficult time following an outstanding pastor. And Joshua had his job cut out for him, to say the very least. To follow a man like Moses, and in the place of leadership, it was no small feat, but God's blessing is upon him, and that makes all things possible. And God's going to use Joshua. But Moses, by this time, remember, was taken up in the mountain, or told to go into the mountain, and there he died, and God took care of the funeral. And they can search as they might, they're not going to find out where God put him. Now, that's one grave that they're not going to find. They're not going to dig up any relics. He's there and buried by God himself. Now, at this time, Joshua was commanded to go over Jordan, to go on into the land of Canaan. And we're told that Joshua was commanded to be strong and courageous. And just, this is all introduction, but this coming year, we need to be strong for the Lord. Amen. And in the Lord, more correctly. And be courageous and do some things that maybe we would not normally do just because of the Lord's presence and His promise to us. As He promised Joshua that He would be with him. Now, in this particular introduction, or in this chapter, in the text, but I put it into the introduction, one of the things that Joshua would say to Israel, and the priest would then say to Israel as well, don't abandon the book of the law. Or this coming year, don't give up your Bible. Just hold steadfast to the Word of God. Because you have not been this way heretofore. There's going to be some new things for you, as there will be new things for me. And Joshua gives then directions to the people on how that they are to follow the Lord as they go into the land, into that place, or that way where they have not gone before. And that brings me then to the message I want to present, and I want to give you several thoughts out of the text, and associated really with the thought that is presented here in this text, you've not passed this way hitherto for. This particular first point I put in, and it very well could go in at the first. It'll need to be referred to again at the end of the message. But to walk in the way, you must know the person who is the way. To walk in the way, you must know the person who is the way. And there's only one way. The Word of God teaches that. That there's only one way. There's only one name. There's only one mediator. And so we have to know that particular person. Now, we'll go through basically the gospel this morning just to remind you that God gave His Son. God gave His Son. Not discounting the fact of the condescension and incarnation, but just in a broad perspective, I want you to understand that God loved this world enough to give His Son. As our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked on planet Earth, He was sinless. He is sinless. And He was sinless in eternity past. We need to understand that this is God in the flesh. And God is extremely holy, to say the least. But Jesus, while on earth, lived sinless. There was no charges that could honestly be brought against Him. He was often charged with some things. On one occasion, they said He blasphemed because He made Himself equal with God. He claimed to be the Son of God. And He rightfully could make that claim because He is the Son of God. But they said, "You blaspheme because you make yourself God." Well, that was not blasphemy. That was just the very fact of His being. That as the Bible teaches, that He being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. He didn't come with great fanfare to this earth, but He came in demonstration of the fact that He was willing to condescend to the place and take the place of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God gave His Son. Jesus lived sinless. And in His plan and in that which had been determined prior to His coming to earth, He died for sin. Oh, what a glorious thought today. You say, that's a bloody scene. Yes, it is. You don't have to read too much in the gospel, so you'll find out that Calvary was a bloody scene. The trials were bloody scenes. But I want you to know that God was giving us redemption through His Son. There was one that was willing to come and die for sin and for sinners. He arose from the dead. And I want you to know there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I encourage you this morning, if you're going to walk in the way, you must know the person who is the way. Now, sinners are called today. I believe there's a clarion call from the Word of God. And even the wooing of the Holy Spirit under the preaching of the Word of God. Sinners are called to repentance and faith. That is the message that our Lord Jesus Christ gave in the Great Commission. If you read the last chapters of each one of the Gospels, except John, and it comes a little earlier in John, but we see a lot of association in even the last chapter of John, that there were different aspects of the Great Commission. But the message that Jesus Christ said would be preached would be repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I tell you that God has called sinners to repentance and faith, and having trusted Christ, then He calls to holiness. He did not ever intend that His children live in rebellion, but in submission and walking godly in Christ Jesus. Sinners are called, and we're still under the main heading now, to walk in the way. We must know the person who is the way. You can know the way. You can know the way. You can know Jesus Christ. Our Lord, while on earth, said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." You can know the way. You need to know God today, and you need to know His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's the first point I want us to see this morning in this message, as we remind you of the fact that we're going where we haven't been before. You've not walked this way heretofore, the children of Israel were told. This is going to be something new. And we don't know what this year holds, but I want to assure you that this year you'll want to know Jesus Christ to face whatever comes your way, in the way, this year. The second thing I want us to see is, this is the way they have never walked. Now, they are given some instruction, first of all, about the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Oftentimes, because I suppose as Gentiles we do not fully appreciate the tabernacle and the things that it would speak in type and in symbol, today we often just read through these passages and don't think a great deal about it. But when you study the tabernacle and you study this Ark of the Covenant, you find that it played a great place and prominence place in the economy of the children of Israel. That it was a place, or there was a place where this ark was placed so that they would discern and understand this was significant of the place of the presence of God. So we're talking about following God. Since we're dealing with the Ark of the Covenant, which is significant of the presence of God, then we're talking about following God when He gives us instruction about the ark. Now, there's some things that He said that they were to do. First of all, they're to watch the ark of the Lord God. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that started it. He's the one that will finish it. And we need to be watching all the way through. We need to be looking to the Lord today. Somehow or other, we have come to a time in Christendom where it seems that folks think that they can divide this thing up. And, well, we can put Jesus over here as Savior. We don't have to own Him as Lord. The Bible always speaks of Him in behalf of the believer as the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be watching the Lord Jesus Christ. But the children of Israel were to watch this ark. And the first thing that they were to do when this ark moved, they were to arise up. That means they began to get in action. As they watched the Lord and they discerned that He was on the move, then they arose to the occasion. They would follow Him. And you and I need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ today so that whenever He moves, we arise to the occasion and we do what we ought to do. We haven't been this way before, but God was good last year, but He also can be good this year. And He opened a number of doors for us last year. He can open a whole lot more doors this year. We need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, because when He moves, we want to be ready to move and respond. And the Bible said here that they were to arise, and then they were to follow. Simple statement. It's not very profound to understand that. They're to follow. What gets to be profound is how they're to follow. They were to maintain a proper distance. They were not to lose sight of the ark, but they weren't to get too close. And ultimately, of course, make it commonplace. Now, I want to deal with this thought for a moment and try to help you here in this regard as we see the Lord rise up, the priest rise up with the ark, and the children of Israel are to follow. There was a prescribed distance that they were to follow. They weren't to get too far behind. And I want you to know that this year you do not want to lose sight of Jesus Christ. If there's anything that ought to be first and foremost in our lives, it ought to be Jesus Christ. Everything else will fall into a proper place when Jesus Christ is first. That's what He Himself said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. If folks want to get over here in front and pick up some things, but they get ahead of the Lord. Well, the Lord may take a turn. You'll be way out here in left field or right field or somewhere else where you ought not to be because you're ahead of the Lord. But you want to maintain the distance. And do you realize today that they were not to get up so close that this became just commonplace and familiar? There seems to be an attitude today. There was a fellow that came by this way one time and didn't stay very long. But he was in the habit of calling God Daddy. Now, my daddy was James Hubert Stone. My daddy is nickname or what everybody knew him by was Bud Stone. That's my daddy. My Heavenly Father is worthy of adoration and praise that even my daddy was not worthy of. And I'm not worthy of, nor are you worthy of this morning. We need to hold him in a right perspective. And you do not dare get up and just make him extremely familiar. Now, we can walk in fellowship with God, but we always want to maintain the right attitude about Jesus Christ. That we do not have a right to place ourselves in the place of His standing. Anything that we receive, we'll receive from God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ by God's design, not by ours. It's not something we take and claim. No, we would go to court and try to hold somebody to their word on this. God has agreed with Himself that He would make us an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You realize a lot of folks have gotten so familiar with Jesus Christ that they begin to speak for Him outside of His word, try to tell you His mind and what He ought to be thinking. Not so, folks. It's just not so. And don't ever be guilty of that. Always take the proper distance and maintain that proper distance. We need to always keep the Ark of the Covenant in sight, our Lord Jesus Christ, in sight. But we don't want to just get up there and shoulder up to Him. Now, there were a couple of disciples one time that, actually their mama got into the situation. She went to the Lord and said, I want you to let my two sons sit, the one on the right hand, the other on the left. in your kingdom. Basically, the Lord told her, you don't really know what you're asking. Said, this is a place that God the Father has designed, and it's for those that He's determined are to be there. And it's not a place to be usurped. It's not a place to be demanded. And if I could say it with all honesty today, that it is a place that I believe God would give in reward to absolute, unequivocal faithfulness to God and His Word and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's just an opinion. We'll pass that on. But I don't let the ark become familiar, but don't let it get out of sight. And this year, don't make Jesus Christ just one that you're casual enough to walk up and speak of as another man. Because He's more than a man. He's God. And He's the man Christ Jesus who robed Himself in the flesh of a man, but literally was God incarnate. Don't ever forget that this year. Don't lose sight of Jesus Christ. Don't presume to change the ark. Make it fit your idea. Keep it out before you far enough that we dare not put our hand to it, but always look at it in the light of God's design. I want you to know that when you look at Jesus Christ with all of His perfections, you couldn't do a better job. You couldn't do as good a job. And the truth of the matter is, you wouldn't do as good a job if you could, because of the sinful nature. God did a tremendous job in the gift of His Son. And I've never known a person like Jesus Christ. Not ever. Except to know Him. As we go on with our message this morning, this is to be a sanctified way. In verse 5 of the text that we read, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Set yourself apart. Sanctify yourself. Just to remind you of a couple of things that are said in the Bible, or taught in the Bible. First of all, the vessels of the Lord must be clean. But when Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and admonished them to sanctification, he put it in such plain language we can't miss it. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And that new man is to be renewed after the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So then we're to conform our lives to that which we see in Jesus Christ. Put off that old man with his deeds, the Bible said. And you can read of them in the book of Ephesians. It's lying, stealing, murder, and everything else that's associated with mankind today. And that needs to be laid aside. And we need to put on the one that demonstrated the greatest love that was ever for the human race. None other than Jesus Christ. So this way is going to be a sanctified way. Now, we've been studying in the book of Ezekiel in the Sunday school. We dealt with it this morning. You know what they did? They picked up the idols of the people of the land before them. They turned away from the Lord. This is a sanctified way. They're to go into this land. They're to be a separate people. They're to be a distinct people. They are to honor the Lord God that with His strong arm has brought them out of Egypt's bondage through the wilderness journey to the borderland and will now take them into the land. It's to be a sanctified way. Things to expect in the way. And you can say amen. This is a final point. I will draw a conclusion in a moment. You can expect some victories this year. The children of Israel went into the land. If we went back a chapter, we'd deal with the spies going into Jericho. There's a woman there that did not have the best reputation in town. Rahab. They went to her house. She hid them. When it came time for her to help the spies escape the king, she sent the king out and said, they just left. You need to hurry after them. Well, that gave her a window of opportunity. And she took a scarlet cord. It's strong enough to for these men to let themselves down by it. And she let them over the wall of the city. She said, you go up into the mountain, you stay there 3 days. The king will get tired of looking for you and he'll be back, but then you can go back across where you are. But she said, we've heard of you. We've heard of what God has done with the kings that were in the way. We've heard of what God did at the Red Sea. We've heard all about you. And our hearts have melted within us. The spies were let down and she asked God's blessing upon her and her family. And these spies said, if you'll tie this scarlet cord in the window, and you'll get your folks in. Anybody that's behind the door of this house, their blood will be required at our hand if they're slain. But if they go outside, the safety of this house, where the scarlet cord is bound in the window, their blood will be upon them. And I'll just mention it in passing. It's not in the message so much today. We've already covered salvation in the first part. But I remind you that the only life is in the place that God has appointed. And God has appointed life in His Son today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, the children of Israel, they go over the flooding Jordan. They build a memorial. They make a preparation. They get their instruction and they go around the city one time every day. On the seventh day, they go around 7 times. They shout and they move straight forward because the walls of that city will fall down. And they go in and they take that land. Or that city. There'll be some victories this year. But do you understand what happened just right after that? There was a defeat at Ai. They got proud. They got arrogant. They thought, surely we're God's favored. Nothing can happen to us. Even some of the men said, don't send up the whole crowd. Let's just take a few men. It's a small city. Went up. And they ran before them and men died. There was a defeat. So you can expect some victories. You can expect some defeats this year. You can expect some blessings. And that's what God promised Israel, that He would bless them in the land. Let me just mention this. When the blessings come, you realize that sometimes it's harder to deal with the blessings than it would have been to deal with even some of the tragedies that might come. Solomon finally figured it out and he said, don't give me too much lest I blaspheme me. Don't give me too little lest I steal. Just give me my necessary food. Keep that in mind. As God blesses, don't get arrogant. Don't get too proud. Just thank God for what He does. Certainly, there might be losses as well as blessings in the land, but you've not been this way before. It'll be a new experience. This is a new opportunity. Whatever you intended to do and have done in 2009, it's done. But 2010 is before us. I want to draw a conclusion and then we're going to give the Lord's invitation. We've been given a new year. Simple statement, obvious. Walk in it. Walk in it. Follow Him who is the way. Let's stand together. Musicians come and pray the invitation number. The rest I'll pray with. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I appreciate the thought of, as we go away, we haven't been hitherto for. We really don't have to walk alone because we have the One who made it all, who determined it all. And as we, like Israel, go into the land, as we go into this new year, it may be new to us, but You're the Rock of Ages. And we thank You, Lord, that we are assured of Your grace and goodness. But help us to be faithful to walk this year and take advantage of the opportunities that You afford us. And we'll praise You, for we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.